So now that you're fully rested and awake, what are you going to do with all your time?
Hello, this is Jessica from Austin, Texas. And if I wanted to have one more activity in my day, believe it or not, it would be more time for housework. I am a busy working mother of three kids, and there never seems to be enough time to keep a straight house, much less cook all the meals that I want to and keep up on my laundry.
Not having enough time is more than just a laundry problem, Jessica. Royal Oak, Michigan wants more time for cooking. Would need at least 2 hours. I usually don't get off work until 7 p.m., 8 p.m., and by the time I get home, it's too late to even think about cooking. Where does the time go? Once upon a time, John Maynard Keynes, the economist, predicted that greater wealth would mean greater leisure time for all of us. It hasn't worked out that way for everyone. And just who is timeless and who has extra hours to chill in our economy might surprise you. New Yorker staff writer Elizabeth Colbert took on the question of why more money in our pockets over the last 80 years or so hasn't given us more time for ourselves.
If you look back at the historical data, it does turn out that, you know, Keynes was sort of extrapolating forward in a way. And if you look back at how much people worked in a really, agrarian society in the beginnings of industrialization, they really put in very long hours, hours that we would consider, you know, really, really long. And as the world did industrialize and got wealthier, and, you know, some people would attribute this to the labor movement, and there were various trends going on where work hours were declining through the beginning of the 20th century. And then sort of mid-century, that started to level out in the States. And we're now still working roughly the same, maybe slightly less hours as we worked, you know, mid-20th century, even though our GDP has, you know, really grown enormously since then, and per capita income has grown enormously, real income.
What's really interesting about some of the things that you're thinking about here is not so much that we're working more, and that is frustratingly true, but it's also, you know, since our leisure time has expanded and we're not doing industrial jobs quite so much, there are these barnacles that have attached themselves to our time that we might spend just sort of thinking or daydreaming, you know, and they include things like, you know, lists that we're making on smartphones or, you know, looking at emails. The question of contemplating what it is we have to do, it feels just as stressful as actually doing it. And that all that adds up to people feeling as though they have absolutely zero time in the day. And it takes them much longer to even get to the point where they're having leisure.
One, you know, serious question here is how much of this is an actual social, you know, phenomenon that people are working as much or in some sectors of the population, potentially even, you know, more than they did 50 years ago. And how much of it is just this way in which we are all distracted so that even though we have, say, the same amount of leisure time or more leisure time, even by the books, by the time use research, we're sort of frittering it away by, as you say, you know, checking our cell phones and things that make us feel busy.
The people at the very high end of the pay scale also report that they're working more than ever. And you do a little thought experiment, which I think is pretty intriguing, that you sort of place someone from Walmart whose daily income would probably be roughly $40, depending on who they are in the food chain there at Walmart, and someone at a hedge fund whose daily income could represent millions of dollars. And it suddenly becomes easy to understand why the hedge fund guy isn't at the softball game for his kids, because it suddenly feels as though, wow, you know, millions for this, whereas for the Walmart employee, $40, you know, I might as well go to the game.
Right. I mean, you know, people will look at that different ways. And if you look at it sort of from an economic theory point of view, you can come up with a bunch of different reasons. For the Walmart employee, the $40 of lost wages for roughly half a day, let's say, you know, represents a significant part of, you know, a weekly income.
Right,
and it
right.
could be very serious. So I certainly don't want to say that people who are working and clearly on minimum wage, really, really struggling to get by, are, you know, simply taking time off and can simply afford to take time off. But the facts show us, or the data show us, that strangely enough, it's very counterintuitive that even as we're getting this sort of bimodal distribution of income in this country, where very few people control an increasing amount of the wealth, even as that's been happening, we've gotten this phenomenon where people at the lower end of the income scale have more leisure time, or more time off, let's call it that, than people at the high end. And so that's a really interesting phenomenon and sort of seems to beg for an explanation.
Well, I definitely wanted to climb into the mind of your hedge fund guy at the Little League Park. You know, because, you know, I wonder if there would ever be a circumstance where such a person would, you know, elbow me sitting next to him and say, gosh, I could be back at the office making millions, but my son just hit a home run, so I guess it's worth it.
Yeah. Well, you know, we were all sort of familiar, at least once again, in a sort of maybe cartoonish way with the super wealthy who are super, super busy. And when you think about it, you know, there are also obviously, of course, the hedge fund guys who, you know, retire at 35, which on some, you know, Keynesian level really, really makes a lot of sense. It's why did you need that extra, you know, $2, $3, $10 billion. You know, what is keeping people going for that?
Is being busy a sign that you're like really important?
Well, that was one of the theories that's been put out there, that it's become a social status sort of things. And apparently there was a study done by a woman who's a professor at North Dakota, and she collected holiday letters, you know, those letters that people put out at Christmas time over several decades, and found that in the beginning, you know, 50 years ago, 40 years ago, people were talking about blessings of the season, and increasingly they just become these chronicles of ridiculously hectic lives and the gazillion things people have squeezed into their previous year. And she sort of concluded that it has become a status symbol, and that we use busyness, you know, as opposed to boasting about our new car or even our kids' achievements or whatever. We now talk about how busy we are. So that's an interesting thought.
Well, reading those letters has become exhausting. I mean, I didn't know I was even doing that study, but I can certainly confirm my own data.
Anecdotally, yes, exactly.
Do we enjoy our leisure time enough?
Well, I guess based on time use studies and the sense that people have no leisure time, you could certainly say that we don't. Now, one of the interesting things that I sort of started to think about is how even, you know, leisure nowadays, we don't believe in letting our kids just sit around and be bored, and we don't believe in letting ourselves, you know, the just hanging out on the stoop, which people have done through much of history. We don't really do very much anymore. So I wonder to what extent we need to just do nothing.
Elizabeth Colbert is a staff writer for The New Yorker and author of a piece in the magazine called No Time: How Did We Get So Busy?
Time is on my side. Yes, it is. Time.
Okay, so time's working for you. What you gonna do with it?
This is Marnie from Ferndale, Michigan. I wish I had more time every day for hula hooping. It makes me feel fantastic and keeps me healthy. I'd love an extra half hour for it every day.
Hi, Takeaway. This is Josh Tucker.
And Jordan Vaughn.
We're brother and sister, and we're spending this summer in Bar Harbor, Maine.
If we had more time for an activity, we would spend every available hour hiking in Acadia National Park.
We always seem to find a new trail to get lost on. We like it because it gives our senses a chance to appreciate the surroundings we usually take for granted.
Hula hooping, hiking, hula hooping while hiking. What do you wish you had more time to do? Tell us at 877-8-MY-TAKE, and be sure to take the time tomorrow on the program to hear our interview with actor Jesse Eisenberg discussing his latest film, Night Moves. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. Gotta go. This is The Takeaway.
Support for The Takeaway comes from Reputation.com, encouraging everyone to check their online search results, because search results define you or your business. Learn more at Reputation.com. TiVo, able to search cable TV, on-demand libraries, and streaming content from Netflix and Hulu Plus on a single screen. Available at TiVo.com. The Henry Luce Foundation, for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia. And the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable developments in communities across the country.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.